Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just how hard can things get as we wait for Christ's second coming? We talked about a little bit of that today in Bible class. Just how hard can things get? Well, imagine you're John the Baptist. He proclaimed Christ as the coming one. In fact, he preached the whole counsel of God, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, which included God's design for marriage. He preached openly against King Herod, who had unlawfully taken his brother's wife to be his own wife. For that, John was arrested and thrown into prison. And there he sat, waiting to be executed, which he eventually would be. And Christ, the coming one, wasn't doing a thing to stop it. The fact is, Christ's first coming hadn't solved the world's problems, nor had it even solved the problems of his faithful ones. On the contrary, things had gotten worse for some, like John, not better. Death loomed before his eyes. The Old Testament prophets, in many places, had painted a glorious picture of the coming of the Messiah, as we've been considering on Wednesday evenings now in Advent. Well, John was seeing none of that prophesied glory. Was John himself in prison beginning to wonder about Jesus? Or were his disciples beginning to wonder about Jesus? Maybe both. In any case, John's perspective on things was very limited by those bars on his jail cell. He couldn't see anything that Christ was doing. So he sent some of his remaining disciples to Jesus to ask him about it, which was a very good thing to do. "Are you the coming one?" they asked. "Or do we look for another?" The prophets had foretold a time of judgment, a time of justice, a time of restoration at the arrival of the coming one. The prophets had foretold a messianic era of peace and prosperity for God's people, safety from their enemies, the spread of God's kingdom, Israel, throughout the world. Now, the prophets had also foretold the suffering, rejection, death, and resurrection of the Messiah. And so far in Jesus' ministry at that point, they hadn't seen any of those things. John himself foretold that Christ was the coming one and would baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. But John didn't see any of those things happening yet either. Things seemed to have stalled for a little while. God's plan of salvation didn't seem to be advancing very quickly or very forcefully, didn't appear to be moving toward any of the grand accomplishments that had been prophesied for the Messianic era. So, are you the coming one, Jesus, or should we expect another? You can understand John's question. We ourselves often fail to understand God's timing of things. To us, it would make sense for Jesus to just come and do everything at once, make atonement for sins and convert sinners and fix the world's problems all at once, quickly, easily, as soon as he came the first time. But that's not what we see. We see a world that's gone mad in every imaginable way and in some ways that no one could have imagined just a few years ago. We see the gospel being silenced, being obscured by false doctrine. We see Christians believing for a while and then falling away. We see the church in shambles. We see the little groups of God's faithful people around the world struggling just to survive. Can this really be the Messiah's kingdom? What did Jesus say in response to John's disciples? Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. It's true, not everything the prophets had prophesied was taking place yet. There were things about the coming one's kingdom that hadn't been fulfilled yet when John sent his disciples to Jesus. And there are still things about his kingdom that have yet to be fulfilled. But look, John, at the miraculous things that are being done, just as the prophecies said they would be. Look at the gospel being preached, just as it was prophesied to be. Look at the prophecies that are being fulfilled, at the individuals who are being helped by the Christ even now. Or rather, since you can't look there from inside your prison, listen. Listen to the word of God as your disciples bring it back to you. Jesus didn't do everything all at once that the prophets said he would do, but then the prophets never said that he would do everything all at once. In fact, the prophets, for the most part, foresaw the whole New Testament era from Christ's first coming to his second coming like one great painting, with some things painted on one side of the painting that he would do early in his ministry during his first appearance on earth, other things that would take place between his first and second coming, other things on the other end of the painting that wouldn't take place until he comes again the second time. One great painting, one great prophecy, not everything happening all at once. So focus on the good things that Christ has done and has been doing. Be patient. Don't minimize the importance of the good things just because you haven't seen everything yet. And then Jesus speaks a blessing, laced also with a warning. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. If you insist on putting Jesus on your own timetable, if you'll only believe in him if he offers a speedy solution to the trials you're going through at the moment, if you refuse to rejoice in all the good he has already done and is now doing for his kingdom and in particular for you, then you will be offended by him. You will stumble over him because he rarely works in ways that seem to make sense to us. But then if he did, he wouldn't be God. Because here's what God says God does. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. Hear his word calling you to repentance. Hear his word calling you to faith. Hear his word announcing to you the forgiveness of sins and pronouncing a blessing upon you. And then see all the good things that Jesus has done in fulfillment of prophecy. John died before seeing any more of God's saving plan revealed. But we know now much more how the kingdom of God has advanced since that time. After John was beheaded by King Herod, Jesus continued to preach. His preaching grew more poignant, more direct. He was simultaneously selected by the people of Jerusalem as their Savior and rejected by the people, the leaders of Jerusalem, as their Savior. He was crucified, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, sent down his Holy Spirit into the world, and his kingdom has spread to every corner of the globe, all according to Old Testament prophecies and his own. As we heard in last week's gospel, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Sure enough, we're still hearing Jesus' words, speaking them, learning them, confessing them, passing them on to our children. The church is still being built. The church still hasn't been snuffed out of existence, as it well should have been a very long time ago. And it won't be snuffed out either. See the good things Christ has done and is doing. Rejoice patiently in those good things, even as you wait for the rest of the good things to happen in his good time. For now, Jesus points the crowds and you back to John again. He reminds the crowds who were with him that day about John's ministry, because they had all followed John before they followed Jesus. He reminds them why they went out to hear him in the first place. Not because he said nice, pretty things. Not because he was handsome or finely dressed. They went out to hear the truth from him. And the truth isn't always pretty, and it isn't always nice, and it isn't always comforting, but it was still the truth. This is he, Jesus says, of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." The same truth that John the Baptist proclaimed 2,000 years ago is still the truth today and still applies to you now. The Christ is coming, and with him, judgment for the impenitent and redemption for the penitent and believing. So prepare the way before him. Repent of your sins. Look to the Christ for healing and redemption. He is doing great things in the world, even now, although your perspective and your knowledge of it may be limited. Rejoice patiently in the things Christ is doing, and know for certain that all the other good things he has promised will come when he comes again, even the destruction of sin and death and the restoration of righteousness and life. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.